Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll do part two of our commentaries on Quran, chapter 17 and verse 1. Let me remind you again with the word of Allah for that verse. It says, "Praise be to him who took his servant by night from the forbidden mosque to the farthest mosque, whom we have blessed that which surrounds him, that we might show him some of our signs. Surely he is the hearing, the seeing." First of all, before we even start our commentary on that verse, if you look at the verse carefully, you will not see the name Muhammad is mentioned anywhere in it. So that verse could be about anybody else. But according to the Muslim scholars' interpretation, or we can say fabrication, this verse is talking about the miracle of the traveling of Muhammad from the mosque in Mecca to the mosque, which is farther away, in Jerusalem. We talked in our last broadcast that there was no mosque there because the mosque, which was built by Omar, was built years later after Muhammad died. And the original holy place, which is the Temple of Solomon, was already destroyed 500 years earlier, around 70 AD. So I do not know what mosque Muhammad was sent to. Amazingly, we'll see that in the interpretation of Al-Tabari, he will tell us that Muhammad described that mosque to the believers or to the mushrikeen, the infidels of Quraysh. Somehow, he described something that does not exist. That means, A, the story was written years and years later, so the person knows that there was a mosque there, or B, it's just simply pure lie from the bottom of hell. By the way, this is a very important study. That's why I'm spending all this time in it, because I believe we need to know. The claim of the Muslims to have the holy site in Jerusalem for them is built on that one miracle. And the miracle is Muhammad was taken during the night, once again, from his house or some other place or from the Kaaba. Only Allah knows, because we have these three different opinions which makes the story a fairy tale. If you do not have solid information about who and where and when and how and why, then what you're making up is very simply a myth. And that's exactly what this story is all about. Muhammad was taken from Saudi Arabia to Jerusalem. So that is why Muslims believe they have the right to have their foot in Jerusalem, because it is another holy site for them, like the first two holy sites, that is Mecca and Medina. So once again, let us look at the disagreement about Muslim scholars concerning the miracle of the Isra. Isra is the traveling of Muhammad by night from Mecca to Jerusalem, saying that it was from the Hajar, or from the house of the mother of Hani, or from the Kaaba itself. As Muhammad said, "While I was sleeping in the house of Hani, after the Isha, that is the last prayer at night, I was taken on the Isra, that is the traveling at night. Many of the people of Quraysh turned back and thought that this was a dream, an illusion. Among Muhammad's sayings in the hadith is that the prayers were 50, so he interceded with Allah and made them 5 at the time of Isra, as stated by Ibn Kathir in his interpretation to Quran chapter 17 and verse 1. How about Mi'raj, that is the ascension of Muhammad from Jerusalem to the seven heavens? Obviously, I do not see that word in that verse. As a matter of fact, that word was never mentioned anywhere in the Quran. So when we read the verse, it's very simple. It's a trip from Mecca to Jerusalem back to Mecca. But in the interpretation of Muslim scholars, he added other materials to make it a greater miracle, as we'll see in the rest of our study for today. Ar-Razi, the great Muslim scholar, mentioned several doubts about the hadith of Isra and Mi'raj. So what happened is, in the hadith, Muhammad was talking about his miraculous trips from Mecca to Jerusalem to heaven back to Mecca. But in the Quran, chapter 17, verse 1, does not mention anything except the trip from Mecca to Jerusalem. Ar-Razi had very important four vital information from which we know that he does not believe that this is a true miracle, as Muslims claim. Here is his point view. First, he said, the movement that is fast is unreasonable. The ascension of a heavy body to the heavens is unreasonable. Its ascent to the heavens would require the penetration of the spheres, and that is impossible. Obviously, Ar-Razi does not know that God is able to do anything, and we have in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, many of the examples of those who were ascended to heaven in the flesh, which we'll be talking about in the end of this broadcast. But from Islamic perspective, this is a great miracle. And he's saying it is impossible for the body of Muhammad to go out the atmosphere all the way to the seven heavens. The second important fact Ar-Razi stated, if this meaning was true, it will be greater than all other miracles. It should have been apparent when the people gathered so they could use it as evidence of the truthfulness in Muhammad's claiming of prophethood. As for this miracle to take place at a time when no one saw it or witnessed him, meaning Muhammad ascending to the heaven, then that would be in vain. And that is not befitting of the wise one. He's talking about Allah. In simple words, what is the wisdom of Allah to take Muhammad to the seven heavens, bring him back to the earth, and no one saw it? Amazingly, I am in agreement with Ar-Razi, because believe it or not, in chapter 17 and verse 59 we read, and nothing prevented us from sending the signs except that the ancient denied them. And the verse go on and on with other information. We do not have time to cover it here for this broadcast. But the most important part of that verse is that in this verse, Allah assured us that Muhammad did not perform any miracle, not in 17:1, nor anywhere else in the Quran. Because Allah here is saying, the reason Muhammad did not perform any miracles or any signs, because people before denied such miracles. If the story in Quran chapter 17 verse 1 is true, Allah would have said in verse 59, we already have given you a great miracle at verse 1 of that same chapter. And by the way, the claim that nobody believed in any of the previous miracles performed by the previous prophets, it's a lie. Because from the Quran itself, we know that, for example, when Moses performed his miracles in Egypt, not only the Jewish people believed in Moses, but even the sorcerers, these are Pharaoh's people, believed in Moses and they worshipped Allah, the God of Moses. Let's move on to point number 3. And that's where Ar-Razi quote for the Muslim readers what is written in Quran chapter 17 and verse 60. And when we said to you, surely your Lord surround the people, and we did not ordain the vision which we showed you except a sedition for people and the cursed tree in the Quran, and we will cause them to fear, so it will not increase them except a big rebellion. Ar-Razi stated that vision was nothing but the hadith of Mi'raj, that is ascension to heaven, and it was only a trial or a sedition for the people, because many of those who followed Muhammad, when they heard his speech, denied it and disbelieved in it. So the hadith of Mi'raj, the ascension to heaven, was a reason for the trial of the people. So it was proven that it was a vision that Muhammad saw it in his dream.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
The fourth important point given by Ar-Razi to disagree about the reality or the truthfulness of the hadith of Muhammad concerning the ascension to heaven after he was taken to Jerusalem, that the hadith of the ascension includes far-fetched matters, which we covered in our last program, including what was narrated about the angel opening the chest of Muhammad and washing his heart with water from Zamzam, which is far-fetched because Al-Razi said what can be washed with water is physical impurities, and that has no effect to purify the heart from false belief and reprehensible morals. This hadith also includes what was narrated about Muhammad riding on his burak, and that is the animals which we mentioned in our last program, between a horse and a mule, or maybe it was a white horse with two wings. Ar-Razi stated, which is far-fetched because if Allah sent Muhammad from this world to the world of the heavens, what need was there for that beast or that creature? It also included what was narrated that the Almighty made 50 prayers obligatory, and then Muhammad kept going back and forth between Allah and Moses until he reduced the 50 to 5 prayers because of Moses' compassion. Al-Qadi, as another Muslim scholar, said this requires the abrogation of the ruling before its occurrence, and because, as we know, logically in the Quran Allah gave a verse and then Allah later abrogated with another verse. So here we see that Allah abrogating his commands to Muhammad before the first command was put into action. Al-Qadi continued to say, and it requires the change of the mind, which is impossible for Allah. If Allah gave Muhammad the command for the Muslim believers to pray 50 times for every day, Allah would have never changed his mind in these 17 trips to cut it from 50 to 45 to 40 and so on to 5 prayers. Which, by the way, very logical, but not according to Islam, because both of Ar-Razi and Al-Qadi and all Muslim scholars know that Allah changed his mind about every verse that is abrogated in the Quran. Because if you give me a verse in the Quran, teach something, and then you give me another verse to teach the opposite of the first thing. That is a change of mind. This should never be happening in the word of Allah in the Quran. As Allah himself stated, no one can change the words of Allah. Al-Tirmidhi ended by saying, so it is proven that this hadith includes what cannot be accepted, so it was rejected. That is the interpretation of Al-Razi for his tafsir for Quran chapter 17 verse 1. And as we shared with you in our last broadcast, you have heard me mention many times in the past that the writings of the Quran or the saying of Muhammad in the hadith did not come out of thin air, but Muhammad was influenced by other stories, or also those who helped Muhammad to write his Quran were influenced also by other stories. Some of them are real stories and some of them are fake, which means it did not happen at all. That's why we see many myths throughout the Quran. But I'd like to share with you, in conclusion of our study here, some passages which teach the ascension of the physical body to heaven. First, about the ascension of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, which we'll read about in the book of Acts chapter 1, beginning from verse 9. For there we read, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Here's the question. Do you think Muhammad or those who made up the stories of Muhammad in the Quran or in the Hadith were influenced with this account? The answer is, I believe so. But notice here, we're talking about all the disciples saw Jesus ascending to heaven, and it was not during the night, but during the day. So that is a good point, which was mentioned earlier by Al-Razi, concerning what was the purpose for Allah to perform such great miracle for Muhammad and no one saw it. No, here we see the disciples saw Jesus ascending to heaven, and that's why we, even Christians today, believe that Jesus will come back to this world in the same manner. Now, the second important account I'd like to share with you, it is the writing of the beloved John. And that obviously is what took place in the book of Revelation, that is the last book in the New Testament, the 22 chapters. In chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, we read, yet I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patient of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Now, may someone will say, that is only took place in the Spirit. I will tell you, let's go to the last chapter in the book of Revelation, that is chapter 22, and read together that which is written in verses 8 and 9. Now, I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who kept the word of this book. Worship God. Obviously, when the beloved John said he fell down to worship that angel, that was not in the Spirit, he was in the flesh. As for the third and the last testimony I would like to share with you, which I believe those who wrote the verse of the Quran and fabricated the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith concerning his traveling by night from Mecca to Jerusalem and his ascension to the seventh heaven back to earth were influenced by is actually the writing of the Apostle Paul. And that is what is written in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, the first four verses. And I read, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Obviously, from the reading of that, we know that the Apostle Paul did not know if he was taken to the third heaven in the flesh or in the spirit. These are the three examples we read about in the New Testament concerning the ascension to heaven. And notice there are only three heavens, not as Muhammad claimed, seven heavens. Don't forget, in the Old Testament, we know that Enoch was taken up to heaven in the flesh. He did not die, as mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. And also, prophet Elijah was taken up into heaven as he was separated from Elijah by the chariot of fire, but he was taken up in the whirlwind into heaven. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.